everyone. This is N2NLV with the shortwave and scanner listeners, and we're going to stand by for any emergency or priority traffic before we continue the next evening. Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everyone. This is N2NLV. The name is Charles, Staten Island, in New York City. And I'd like to welcome you to the weekly shortwave and scanner listening app that's heard on the N tomorrow W Link Repeater System every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. local time. The purpose of this event is to provide a general discussion forum for those who are interested in the different aspects of the radio monitoring hobby. We cover all the frequencies that you can tune into on various pieces of equipment, from DC all the way up to light and everything else in between, except for amateur radio. And that's because we can talk about that topic at any other time during the week. So we talk about who's on these various frequencies, what equipment you would need to tune them in, where you can find information, either on the internet or in printed matter, and what does it all mean. The net has basic ground rules. If you are checking in on the air, you have to give your call name, location, and please indicate if you have any traffic for the net. By any traffic, we mean any comments or questions that you want to share with everyone else. If you don't have any traffic, we say no traffic, and this tells us to go to the next person. You can find a list of all the different repeaters in this system by going to www.n2row.net. You pick the repeater that's closest to where you are right now. This way, you will be coming in the cleanest possible rather than trying to reach a repeater on the other side of the city. If you're not able to get into the repeaters, either because of distance, technical difficulties, or you may not have an amateur radio license quite yet.
There are current weather alerts or warnings for the local area, including a central weather statement. Please tune to your local weather radio for details. This is November Bravo to Alpha Link.
Note that you can mailing list, which sends out late-breaking topics and things as they come along. So at this point, we'll stand by for check-in. Please space it out so we can get everybody checked in and help each other. This is N2NLV.
Charlie, N2NLV. WHYPQ, Bob, in Elmwood Park. No traffic at the moment. We will be checking email.
N2NLV.
WA2OKZ, Ted in Cranford, with traffic.
N2NLV.
N2NLV. Here is WB2STP Peter in Manhattan with traffic.
N2NLV. This is KC2LMH, Jim in Astoria with traffic. Good evening.
N2NLV. Here is WB2KTV, Steve, Manhattan, no traffic.
And 1MLZ, Bob in Milford, Connecticut. No traffic. Good evening.
All right, so far we have WA2SQQ, WA2OKZ, WB2SQT, and KQLMH, third time's the charm. WB2KTV and N1MLZ. Anyone else?
N2NLV. This is KC2PXN1 in Staten Island. No traffic.
Thank you.
I've got KC2PXN using 1, and the station after 1, it was all noise. Try again, please.
KB2YKY. No traffic. Just listening to that.
Not really snowing heavy, but very slippery. Let's see, what have I got? I got one question. If anybody knows the fire ground frequency for the take fire, I thought I knew it, but I don't. Big fire going on over there, and I was trying to listen. The other thing is, Charlie, I went to go check the New Jersey message board via the link on your website, and when you click on the New Jersey message board link, you get an error. It looks like you might be trying to connect via the IP address instead of the URL. So you might want to look at that, because the link is not working. Checking email, nothing on there right now. And I'm just going to run upstairs and just grab something real quick. I'm eating my dinner here while I'm on the net. So I'm going to duck out of here for about 2 minutes. I'll be right back, and we'll watch email. Noisy. So, I don't know if you can do something to improve that. Okay, I'll be back in about 1 or 2 minutes, and if anybody has that to take frequency, let me know in about 1 or 2 minutes.
Good evening. I just wanted to mention, if anybody missed it, popular communications magazine for December has an article in it on says Channing heats up for the holiday in New York City. And for those who have not seen it or read it, Charlie's website got a nice plug in the sidebar. So if you have a chance to do stand at Popular Communications there, pick up a copy. It's a pretty good article. It's got pretty much up to date. I mean, it's all in one place that I like.
Okay, Ken. Well, every so often I get emails from various authors or magazines or websites and asking for permission to, link to the site. Information on there, and I said, yeah, no problem, just tell where you got it from. A lot of that stuff is, well, it's a combination. Some of it is from, people here on the net check in, or some who are anonymous, and I respect that. Some of it's by detective work. And you sit there and listen to something long enough, you can start to figure out what's going on. Such and such a group is, upset that you have your information on your website. I went to the next year and said, well, just listen to the transcript.
NOV, here is WB2SGT.
It's your turn for the traffic, Pete.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm not going to get into Mayor Bloomberg's emergency alert program. My emails about it. If you sign up for it, your phone bill will go sky high. As a member of Skywarn, I listen to NOAA weather radio on a regular basis, and this may or not be applicable to the board, but when I listen to them, and they discuss precipitation, you may have 1 or 2 inches of snow, but actual precipitation as measured is zero. How do you figure that out?
Well, snowfall is defined by 10 to get actual water. I guess if it's less than 1 inch, they're counting it as zero.
Okay, thank you. That was good. Terrible accidents on Route 3 Sunday night. I had the drive back to New York. To Newark. So that's good to know. So if I got 2 inches of snow, that means I have 2/10 of an inch of rain.
Yep, that's how they figure it out. You melt the snow, how much water do you get left? That's basically 10 to 1 ratio. On average. You know, some snow is wetter than others.
But when the snow don't melt and it turns to ice, and you get a 700 foot driveway, you have a nice ride. Thank you, Charles. Okay, next second.
And for anybody who's interested, Taiwan training sessions are generally in the spring, during April and May. If you're curious, drop a note when the announcement gets made, I'll pass it along to you. Okay, Jim, this is LMH. I know you kept plugging away there, and finally made it through.
Hi, Charlie, and to everyone in the group. First, I'm looking at Passaic County, Passaic City, fire dispatch in the Scannermaster 7th edition, 853-9375. That's 853.9375 is dispatch. I don't see a fire ground, but I do see a F1 is 46.400, F2, 46.440. And actually, that's it. I don't see anything for countywide fire. Let me let it drop for a second.
Comment? Well, all wrong. First of all, Passaic is part of the rebanding, so the primary frequency is 858-6625 now. We're no longer on 853, so it's 858-6625. And I suspect there's another 800 meg frequency in there somewhere, but you might want to pencil that in. 858-6625 replaces the 853.
Comment, LMM Elder.
Okay, 858.6625, roger that. Also, Charlie in the group, I had some time ago, I was going to search for new talk groups in the Do-It system here in New York City. And so I plugged in the new frequencies that had been added that you had mentioned, Charlie, and that I looked up on your website. And I start doing a search, and I'm getting all kinds of strange-looking talk groups like 763-686 and et cetera with six digits and so on. So I decided maybe I hadn't done something right, so I eliminated all the channels, went with control channel only, and I'm still getting these strange talk groups with no traffic on them. So I wonder if you, Charlie, or anyone on the group has an idea of what I'm doing wrong. This is KC2LMH.
Well, I've seen that pop for me so often, Jim. If it's a six-digit number that starts with 7, that's a unit ID number. It's sort of like, if you go to the transit bus system, each bus has an ID number like that. It's a six-digit number with 7 in front of it. Typically, it equates to whatever the 12 group is. So a 763-686, just drop a 7, and it should be the same talk group. But every so often I get some weird combinations too, and I wonder if there's like a drop bit somewhere in the data stream.
Well, is that something that can be changed in the programming? Like a status bit or something like that, or is that just something that, when they added the new frequencies, came up?
Now, that was happening even before they added those six other frequencies. I was getting this back on my 235 back in 1997. It just happens every so often. You're getting it for every single talk group?
No, I'm getting plenty of normal talk groups as well, the usual suspects. But I'm getting, I've got a bunch of these with the 7s, with 6 digits, And then I have five digits like 63408, 61680, and a bunch of them like that. And they just don't seem to correspond to anything. There's no traffic, so I thought maybe I had done something wrong.
Yeah, I don't think you're doing anything wrong, Jim. Whether it's control channel or just regular scanning of the trunk system. Every so often, I get the same kind of thing. And, you know, being out here in Staten Island with the main transmitter being in Manhattan, there are all trees around during the summertime. Sometimes I wondered if it was just a flipped signal. But I know exactly where you are, and you should get a signal even when you haven't taken off. And if you're still getting that, it might be some kind of corruption in the industry.
And also, interestingly, I was away for a month and a half up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, visiting family, and I was getting the same issue with the Massachusetts trunk system. You know, interesting, a talk group like that that didn't correspond to anything along with all the regular ones. So I'm wondering if it's something that's, like you said, like a corruption of some kind. Back to you, this is KC2LMH.
And what email is that coming?
Hang on a second, Bob. What I suggest here is that everything, you can't just leave it in the list, because, you know, we might be able to figure out what it is, just like dropping the number 7 in the front of it. If you hear particular traffic, even though it's displaying something weird, you might want to jot that down, because it might give a clue to where it is. It might be a mathematical relationship to another 12 group number that we don't know. And Melzek, go ahead. What do you got?
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. Yeah, I was just thinking mostly I call 12 group just have the 7 in front of it. What I see anyway, so I'm wondering if maybe the iCall, you know, if you want to try shutting the iCall function off, or feature, whatever it is, and see if that changes anything, if possible. And a quick frequency, try 856.2625, Bob. If it's PSIAC, possible, that one. 856.2625, I'm not sure, though. Back to you, Chuck.
I know about the iCall, Bob, but I was getting it with regular 12 group, like something pop up, let's say, for OCME or Department of Health, and I know the regular 4-digit 12 group number, and then all of a sudden this 7 preference number would pop up and it would be the same traffic. So that's what makes me think it was something with the data stream that maybe tricked the radio into thinking it was something a little different than what it really is. I don't know. Does
it
give me an idea, Jim?
Well, what I've done is I've put them into their own channel, and I'll just scan them, and if anything stops and corresponds to something else that's more familiar, then I'll try to make a note of that. I've never monitored the iTalk thing. But I'll check and see if in the menu if that's on. If it is, I'll turn it off and see if it happens again. And then I also have a bunch of talk groups with 5 digits starting with 6, so like 61584, 61040, 61680, for instance. Are these anything that sound familiar to you?
Nope, but let's see. Let me just ask you one question. The scanner that you're using it on, do you have the APCO board?
Yes. This is the BC-396.
Okay. And is it coming up in P25 or analog? And do you actually hear traffic on it?
So far, Charlie, I've heard no traffic on these. I haven't had a lot of time to scan them after I saved them, but I did dump these all into a separate group, and I'm just going to scan them and see if it stops on anything.
Okay. They might be playing around with a few things. I know they're trying to get ready for the UHF trunk system, which there's a few frequencies laid out for that, but not sure exactly how they're actually going to structure their system and what the frequency is going to be. Supposedly they have a construction permit that expires at the end of March. Now whether they're going to go for an extension or not, I don't know, but from what I understand, they're trying to get it all put together in time. So maybe they're doing some things across the two systems.
Charlie, are you saying that Deutz is going to a 400 megahertz system, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This has been something that's been on the drawing board for over 10 years. It's called the Channel 16 Project. If you notice in the frequencies that NYPD and EMS have branched out into on the UHF Channel 16, starting from 482 megahertz, the bottom part of that 482 has been empty. Okay. And it was originally theorized that it was going to be a mixed trunking eventual for the fire department. Well, the latest word is that Village is putting together a Type 2 APCO 25 capable trunking system in that range, plus some other frequencies, the 483 and 44, that will have multi sites scattered throughout the city. And it will not just be fire department, it will also be OEM and corporate buildings, and, you know, all the high-end first responder type stuff. You know, they'll need the housing authority and the water crews up on 800, but they'll take all the first responder stuff and ship it down to the UHF. This way, it doesn't matter what first responder agency you're in, all you have to carry is one radio. And that was what was, you know, terminology back in 1998-99 when I first heard this, called the One Radio Channel 16 Project.
I never heard of that before, so that's interesting. Is there a vague timeline even on when this would be completed?
Well, the FCC had gotten licenses issued for it over the past couple of years, and they were given a deadline of March 31st, 08. Though I think they are still allowed to ask for an extension if they need it. But from what I understand, they already have some of the channels programmed, and they're testing something, but I haven't heard anything on the frequency yet. So we still have, what, 3-4 months?
Right, so I guess we'll keep our fingers crossed. N2NOV, this is KC2LMH.
What brought up the topic was the conversation I had with one of the OEM responders who showed me his briefcase where he carried a VHF radio for the fire department, a UHF radio for the police department, and an 800 radio for OEM and the other systems on the trunk system. And we got talking, and he said, yeah, they're planning on putting this all together, so all I have to do is just carry one radio in UHF. And it's been bouncing back and forth, and 9/11 got in the middle of all that. But it looks like it's starting to come together.
Yeah, well, he may have to put in for disability for a bad back before that gets completed. Hi.
Yeah, well, he's already retired from, he was originally from the fire department. He made his rank of captain and then retired from there and went to work with another group. 9/11 did not help the situation. But I'm sure he's keeping tabs on this, and he'd be happy to hear that it finally is going to happen.
KC2 QKS.
QKS, we got you checked in. Any traffic, Frank.
QCS, I seem to be, you know, on the last ounce of power of my units. How am I coming in? Back to you.
No force of it.
Yeah, just a little bit of traffic. How are things going for the meeting coming up on Saturday? And back on VPs or what have you? Back to you.
Different topic, but you know, so far so good. I'll send you an email on that. I'll send it out to everybody.
And to NLB, KC2 to CDC, ready check-in.
Hey, I know that guy.
Sorry about that.
NC1LB, KC2, CDC, late check-in.
Any traffic tonight, Pete?
I was looking for a two-wheel cycle. It looks like I tuned in the nick of time, about 25 in standard. I'm looking on purchasing one, but I've noticed that CRE has come out with a few new scanners, the top of the...
Attention, please. There are current weather alerts or warnings for the local area, including a special weather statement. Please tune to your local weather radio for details. This is your member Bravo to Alpha Link.
96, but there's something that caught my eye about with these two new GRE scanners. It says that it has a network NAC, network access code function, and I was wondering, does that... First of all, I was wondering what you would recommend if you were going to go get one. And the second question is, which ones, and if they do, you know, decode like the scanners of PAS, decode the PL and the GPL, which one would you recommend that actually does do that? Like I say, again, if you were going to go get one, which one you would get? And one does the network access code decoding. Back over to you, Charlie, KC2 CDC.
Okay, Pete, I got most of that. It's not your fault. The repeater system had an announcement. I haven't looked into all the details that closely. But from what I remember at first glance, there are some differences between the frequency ranges that the new GRE series of radios, like the PSR-500, what it handles versus what the unit it handles. And if I can find it here, I'll do that direct comparison. Which one would make more sense? Here we go. The PSR-500, 2554 off, 108-170-4216-512-760-4960-1200. Now, that's all when we find much to make the information. You know, same as between. So the gaps are there.
NOV, KCCC, that was, I try not to get any of that dead trolley. You mentioned the PSR 500, that's the portable one. I don't know if I had mentioned, I was preferably thinking, a desktop, mobile, whatever you want to call it. If portable is an issue, then I was wondering about what you thought. But yes, no, I was wondering which one, if any of them, does do the NACT coding, like I had mentioned. The other scanners do the PC code, the TL and the TPL. NACT, I'm sure as you know, is a hexadecimal combination of 4,096 combinations. Default being 293, and they just come up with this new thing that they call a wild card, F70. But I was looking for them. One of them had done that, and obviously in the conventional digital mode.
Alright, from what I understand, they both do PO and DPO. The thing is that the PSR 500 is set up a little bit differently, even though it's still using dynamic memory. We're looking at the 996 port. Now, I'm looking at a chart in the Grove catalog right now. Okay. And they say that the 996, which I believe is one of the ones you were looking at, AM, FM, narrow FM, wide FM, FMB, whatever that is, Motorola type 1, 2, 800, 900, UHF, VHF, P25, EDEX, wide, narrow, and SCAT, which is single channel EDEX system, LTR, multi-site Motorola. So a lot of the systems are starting to switch over to that, New Jersey State Police, and I think the newest UHF system is going to be a multi-site Motorola, which means affiliation with the local repeater kind of information. Multi-site EDEX. Okay. Dynamic allocation. Now, one of the things you got to remember with dynamic allocation, these newer scanners, is that there's X amount of RAM memory in the radio. Think of it as a computer. And the more information that you give a particular frequency or talk group, meaning alpha tags, PL, DPL, whatever, it's going to take up a little bit more memory. So if you put all the information you can about every single frequency and every single talk group, then you will wind up with less channels, less positions that the memory can hold than if you stripped it down and didn't put alpha tags and PL codes. That's why they're saying in their literature here, up to 406 to 6,000 channels on and on. So these things you've got to look at very carefully in how you're going to lay it out. Now the NAC stuff, from what I understand, Transportation Security Administration over at the airport, they have a radio in VHF, in the 172 something, where there are like five or six channels in that radio. It's the exact same frequency, using P25, but each channel is separated out with the different NAC. So think of it as a APCO 25 version of a digital PL.
And that's what I want to know, which one of those four, those three scanners, the PSR 500, 996, I'm familiar with how the dynamic memory or grouping, you know, as opposed to the regular, you know, you get 100 channels per bank or zone, and, you know, if it's a five-channel trunk system, you have all that waste. I understand about the memories, but the original question is which one of those scanners, if they do it at all, will decode that. I have an XPS 3000 in talk in the conventional
mode on which I'm sure you know them, three machines out in New Jersey that operate mixed mode, but I'm familiar with how that works. What I want to question again is if one of those three, if any, do actually decode it like they would decode PL and or CPL.
Well, let's first see something. KC2LMH, you still in emergency?
Yes, Charlie, I'm here, but I kind of spaced out there. Well, what's the issue?
Okay, you have what, the 396?
Yes, I have the 396.
Okay. That's one of the newer radios with the dynamic memory. With the E25, does that do any type of decoding using the NAC? The network access code?
Not that I'm aware of. I'd have to dig up the manual, but actually I was looking at the Grove site just now also, and I'll have to look at that, but I'm not aware of it. It may be in there.
That guy looks like I'm going to have to pull up manuals from the different manufacturers and do some direct comparisons. Not everything is in this comparison chart in the Grove catalog. There's no mention of NAC on any of them, or PLs and DPLs. So obviously they've only hit the high points and not some of the nitty gritty. So I know the manuals are available, Pete. You know, in PDF format, just download them and do some comparisons. Alright, so I'll have to do that over the next few days. As far as frequency range is concerned, I like the range of the unit end radios better than the GRE. Because the GRE does not do the television and the FM broadcast. You know, it's got some gaps in the coverage. The unit end is pretty good. You know, it does like 25 to 512 in one shot. And then it, you know, does the break up into 700 and 800 because the cellular breakout. You know, they're close. Also, according to the chart of Grove, 400 systems, 6,000 channels maximum for the unit end, but the GRE just says over 1,800, whatever that's supposed to mean.
That was going to be another question about the television audio and the FM audio. Silly, but yeah. So, I was looking at the unit then, but like I say, the nice thing to have, especially if you want to listen to something and you don't know what it is, like you would be listening to something with PL or DPL. And I see the GRE says it's capable, or I was not sure, I have to look at it again. Wasn't sure if it was capable or compatible. Like, you know, on your Pro 92 and your Pro 97 and, you know, your 780, they all decode that. And I was also wondering if you knew about this other thing it's on, or the new P25 radio, talking about commercial public safety, called the wild card.
Wild card what? Searching for PL and DPL?
Best way I can explain it is like this. Let's say you, are you familiar with MDC?
Okay, it's a bursting signal. Alright. That's different than PL and DPL.
It's another kind of signaling, exactly. Just like this fire department, TSBK, another kind of thing. Okay. You have MDC code number 123, and a couple of other stations have 124, 125, and, you know, 126.
instead of putting in all those numbers and then doing it one at a time, you put in the letter F, which would be the asterisk T, and when you would put, you would, you know, bring up your page function, switch those four, with the asterisk four times, hit the PCC, and you would be able to signal all those radios at once. So it's like a group call sort of thing. Now that's basically how the wildcard NAC works, or something like that. Kind of like what they call default, but not default. So, hold on one second, this cat is now out here, but go ahead. I was just wondering if you followed that.
Okay, I understand the concept. In fact, on some radios that I got back in the 90s, there was DTMF group codes. You know, four-digit individual DTMF code and a four-digit group code. But the ID never caught on. You know, signaling methods like this are developed and put out there by the manufacturers. But especially around here, how many of them are actually using it is the question. The only time I tend to hear an MPC burst is when a ham buys Motorola radio wants to squawk their call sign, which sounds kind of dumb. But I rarely hear the actual public service people using it in that type of situation. There may be a few, but I hardly hear any of them using it.
Okay, you got the concept. It'll be used for like transmit. Another concept is if you're monitoring conventional P25 system, obviously conventional, as a part of the signal that comes with it, how can I explain it to you? All these, each radio has an ID that can be changed or default. When you're listening to the proper NAC and carrier squelch mode, you will get the unit's ID, obviously as well as the audio. That's how you know that you're on the proper network access code. You hear the audio, but you might not be getting the individual unit ID. Follow, sort of, kind of, I hope.
Okay, I understand the concept. I just don't know who's actually using it. Jim, you have something?
Yeah, Charlie, I've gone all through the manual here for the 396, and it does not have the NAC capability. It has only conventional digital coded squelch and continuous code, and that's all. And I have listened to P25. There's a pause installation up in at Otis, and I've been all through the menus and everything when I was twiddling around with that, and there's no NAC anywhere.
Okay, so that's on 396. Chances are it's going to be the same for the 996 as well. We'll have to grab the manual for that. If we get any word feed that somebody's actually using that for unit identification, and it's something that, you know, makes sense to go down that road, you know, that might be a decision point for one particular model of radio that can do it versus one that can't. But, you know, again, the question is, who's actually doing it? And is there meaningful information that would be the deciding factor? You know, I mentioned, you know, TV and FM station capability dropped out of the GRE radios. And I know somebody's going to say, well, world, TVs are going digital anyway in 2009. Yeah, but what are they going to be using the frequencies for at some point down the road? Do you realize that the 66 to 88 megahertz band, which used to be analog television in Europe, is being used for public service and businesses? So, you know, that's down the road as a possibility that you can see an expansion into those frequencies. You know, who knows? I would rather have something that gives me the capability to tune across as wide a spectrum as I can, just in case. Anyway, 952, Bob, is SQQ, is there anything else in the email?
No, Charlie, nothing at all. I just checked about 15 seconds ago. So, nothing on there at all. That's about it. Kind of a quiet night. WA2SQQ.
Hi, Bob. Good evening. I didn't know you were in the KC2CDC.
Oh, I'm here lurking all the time. I seldom talk. I have a question for him. Those other things that are still in there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, when are you going out to Vegas next?
Well, we're not going to go to New Year's Eve this year. So, either May or September. So we got a little ways to go. We just got back last month, so. Or September we got back. Yeah, end of September. So probably not till the spring or next fall.
I'm just curious if that 151 frequency for the Vice Squad was still active. I had heard talk they were going to the trunk system. I'm going out there the last few days of January and like till February 1st or 2nd for a show. And I tell you, man, that one frequency, that has got to be like the best frequency to ever listen at night.
It was amazing, I know. It was active in September, you know, constant, so... I imagine it'll still be okay, but I know they're going to go to a trunk system, and one of them systems that we can't monitor, so, I you know, one of the types of digital that we can't hear, so I'm not sure when, but hopefully, maybe next time we go out there, it'll still be the old way.
I wish there was somebody out in Vegas out there would stream some of their audio on that channel. It was really good. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there's a simplex frequency, 151, I forget what it was, but it's the Vice Squad, and they have two cars that go cruising around at night, the first car looking for ladies, and basically when they spot them, they go up and key the mic, and you can listen to the entire negotiation transaction, and they bust them. Incredible listening. I just can't believe they would put that out over the air. Yeah, I'm going out there for the same show I was out there last time, so I'll be out there like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and come back Sunday, something like that. Okay, Charlie, back over to you. WA2SQ.
The system time out. Stand by.
Say again?
The network timed out. Let it drop.
All right, Bob, even though you were able to continue talking with MLZ on 2 meters, for some reason the UHF dropped out. It's like it's not talking back and forth to each other. So 441-100 was completely silent.
Yeah. 100 timed out to save the network.
Hey, Richard, you need to correspond to timeout timers, I guess.
2NOV.
Hey, every once in a while you have the whole network drop to let everything reset. Hi, continue on, guys. That's 2RW. 2NOV.
KC2CDC. One more question about the truck system.
Jesse.
One of the reasons why I ask you about these newer GREs is because they are newer than the 396 and the 996. That was why I you know, brought that up about the network access code, but something else about the GRE scanners. I have a Pro 97. Nice little, I think as far as you can go, analog scanner. Very, very nice, bright and clear display. Runs on 4 batteries. Okay. Interesting thing I discovered, as you well know, there are around here sub 400 megahertz trunk systems down in Brooklyn, Fort Hamilton. Anyway, the thing about it is this Pro 97 will not trunk below 400. I mean, it receives, but you can't bring up the trunking format. I was wondering if anyone that owned that was aware of that.
No, I do not know that specifically. I would hope that the manufacturers have learned to include that range from 380 to 400. Again, I'm going to have to look at the manuals on the latest model of each of them between GRE and Unit and see which ones do which and then do a direct comparison.
Well, that's another reason why I was thinking about these newer models is because you can, it also, bang into the wind chime, can update the firmware, and it also says you can do some other kind of updating, something about the CPU, or I don't know why. I read through it very, very quickly, and I don't remember reading if you can do that with the Uniden. Another thing about the Uniden, you know, they each got, you know, little things that it would be nice if one of them had all instead of having to wind up with two scanners. I can't afford my phone with that in my hand. Which one can't afford, at least I can't, going on and buying another one. Can you update the firmware with the 996?
Yes, I think the 796 was the first one that could do that. But definitely 996 and 396 have the capability to download updated firmware file. You know, sort of like the free-to-air satellite receivers do the same thing. You know, the firmware, you just, you know, when it needs you. In this particular case, the scanners, you just download it to your computer and then use the software to synchronize it back into the radio.
Is that something that's free, or it sounds like you own one of those. How do you go about obtaining an update like that? Is that something you can send you in the mail? I mean, how do you, I don't know if you can hear all this public safety traffic, but it's a couple of blocks away, and I'm a lot closer to the street than I used to be. Yeah, I was wondering if how is that done? You update the firmware?
Well, I don't have one myself, but I have been doing some reading. People say that it does have the capability. The process is just that you go to the website of the manufacturer. They say new firmware for this model is available. Click here. You download it to your machine, and then you run the software that you use for programming the radio. And that's the conduit for getting that binary file into the radio.
Sounds like too. Now you really got a harder decision now, because these newer radios are, you know, they're not like 200 and 300 and 400, you know, they're upwards of, you know, 500 when you want to get all the cables and you want to get the software.
You know, you're talking over $550, you know, pushing six, you know, that's a nice piece of change. Myself, I got a...
Now, welcome to the new world of scanning. KTV Guide, that's what I'll be.
KTV.
Oh, one other thing, Charlie, now that I am settled and have done the transition from one GTH to the other, try to be on the net as if back in yesterday, or back in the day, as they say.
Hey,
there's new firmware for the 996 that just came out?
No, maybe this is for the 396.
Okay, I thought it was 996. I updated mine a while back, and I don't know. I can't really say it's any better or any worse. I suspect that if there was a specific problem, they corrected, and you had the problem, you'd like it. But I think a lot of these firmware updates are transparent.
There were a couple of problems with the display, where it would change colors on you for random reasons. I did it for that. There were no performance enhancements, or no performance changes, so to speak. And that was in the update that came out in April. There is, however, a brand new update to the 396 that came out, probably a month ago, maybe less than a month ago. And everybody who installed it says that the iCall, or rather the close call feature, that's where we get my brand names right here, the close call feature doesn't work as well with the new firmware as it did with the old. So I'm trying to find out what version mine has, and if it has the old, I'm going to leave it alone.
Okay. All right, very good. Let me get moving here. Back to you, Charlie.
Okay, again, it comes down to research. I mean, some of the stuff is just so new that you got to do the research to find the comparison. See whether something's worth it or not. Now, for some people, one particular feature is going to be the only thing they're going to buy the radio for, and that's great. And somebody else wants something else, so they'll get another one. And
comes down to personal taste, choice, availability, and more details than Grove is willing to put into their catalog. So let's see if we can figure this out over the next week. Okay, is there anybody else before we start wrapping up tonight? Okay, for anybody who's going to be in the city on Saturday, if you'd like to meet some of the members of the New York City Arrows group, we're having our annual citywide meeting on Saturday at noontime in the downtown area, 48 Wall Street, in the conference room of the law firm that one of our members works at on the 24th. So it's a combination annual citywide meeting and Christmas party. But tame as far as Christmas parties go. Yeah, a little soda, a little cookies, you know, that kind of thing. Nothing too wild. Certainly welcome to sit in and learn and ask questions and meet some of the gang. Other than that, we'll see everybody here next Wednesday. Hopefully the weather behaves itself, I understand, is a bit of a clipper that's coming in from Indiana. So keep an eye on the weather report. 7:30 for now, and one will be clear.